Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show, I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Hello, everyone around the world. Once again, this is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. Pleased to be with you this Sunday evening. It is 9:32 Eastern Standard Time here on the East Coast, and of course, we have the chat room open for you. We have the Facebook live stream going. We also have the phone lines open here at Blog Talk Radio. If you want to give me a call, you can at 347-326-9749. That is 347-326-9749. I am so exhausted, folks. I just worked out. Very, very proud of myself. Did a very, very good workout as usual. And I'm ready to go to bed, but I wanted to do a show today. I really had to do a show. You had UFC 231 last night. I'm going to talk about that. You have a number of other things going on. And as you know, I have to just do a show whenever I can to get things off my chest, to say what needs to be said. Because there's a real vacuum that exists out there. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this. There's an alternative MMA media forming. People now are getting tired of these fake websites. They're getting tired of these fake, phony UFC shills. We saw this last week when the UFC told journalists that they can't speak, they can't ask questions about Greg Hardy. They can only ask about the fight night. They can only ask about the specific fight card. They weren't allowed to ask as to whether or not Greg Hardy should have been booked on the same card as Rachel Ostovich, who was the victim of domestic violence. She was a two-time victim of domestic violence. And the UFC complied, this fake, ridiculous MMA JA, which is just an absolute joke. Anybody that pays money to the MMA JA should have their head examined. Why in the world would you pay money for this organization? It's just absolutely pathetic. It makes them feel better. They issued a tepid response. It's really, really a big joke. As I've been saying for years, folks, the MMA media is completely fake. It's completely subservient to the powers that be, the UFC, and they should not be taken seriously by those that have integrity, those that want to voice their opinions without offending anybody. They should not be taken seriously by those individuals like myself who don't depend on fighters and don't need to depend on fighters or media access or anything like that for our survival. And what's happening now, I got to tell you, there are some people online. I don't want to give them more attention than they deserve, but there are people that have Twitter followers or Twitter handlers and social media platforms that are going after MMA media figures and going after the UFC and really making an impact. And that leads me to the first story that we're going to talk about here tonight on Carson's Corner. It involves this guy from Bloody Elbow. I don't know. I don't follow Bloody Elbow. I could care less about this website. Never, ever follow them. I don't even think I've read any articles by them. They have this one guy named Kareem Zidane, who occasionally will do an article about politics, the intersection of politics and mixed martial arts, and he seems to be okay, but I think I may follow him on Twitter, but other than that, I really, really have no allegiance or no real knowledge of this website at my choosing. I don't care about this website as far as I'm concerned. They're just another vessel for the UFC and vessel for the powers that be. And they have several contributors. I think they're owned by Vox Media, which is, I believe, the same company that owns MMAfighting.com. That's another thing you got to realize, folks. When you look at these websites, they're typically owned. A lot of these websites, these MMA websites, they're owned by major media companies that own other websites, multiple websites, and you know that's a big part of the problem too, and whatnot. And so you have this guy there. His name is Ian Kidd. And I kid you not, pardon the pun there, folks, really, that just before this was announced that he was arrested for child pornography, I'm not going to go into the details of what happened. It's just absolutely disgusting. I don't want to talk about it, and I'm sure most people out there would agree. It's absolutely reprehensible. But I actually responded to one of his posts on Twitter. I've been using Twitter more now since I've been banned from the underground, and maybe my banning of the underground from the underground has been a blessing, because Twitter is so much more effective in getting your message out there. It's really, really remarkable. But he posted about the Greg Hardy situation. And again, I don't know who this guy is. I heard him, I think, once or twice on a podcast, and you can't understand what he's saying. He's I believe he's from Scotland or the UK or one of these countries, and literally, like, I cannot understand what he's saying, which is bad for somebody that wants to have a podcast and for somebody that does interviews and does podcasts. And you got to be able to understand what they're saying. I mean, nobody has the best podcasting voice, but this guy, I couldn't understand him. He called into a Sirius XM show a couple months ago, and I couldn't understand a word he said, and I even posted it on Twitter. But he made some comment about Greg Hardy and the UFC not or shouldn't be putting Greg Hardy on their card, and they shouldn't have signed him or something to that effect. And I responded back to him, and I told him that, you know, this is par for the course for the UFC. If you look at the UFC's light heavyweight division, they have several fighters that have been, you know, convicted of assault, and John Jones, fill in the blank. I mean, these guys are just absolutely, you know, you can argue reprehensible, or have been bad people in their personal lives. I mean, you know, we could go on and on and on. I mean, the UFC, you know, Rampage Jackson years ago, groping a reporter, and going on a high-speed chase with the police. I mean, you understand, the UFC traffics in this stuff. You know, MMA fighters, some of them are bad people, are dangerous people, and they have criminal records, including Jeremy Stevens, and many others on the UFC roster that are just, you know, so now all of a sudden you're outraged because of the Greg Hardy that's fighting. That doesn't make any sense. You know, to me, you know, this is what I've come to expect, and you should come to expect from the world of mixed martial arts. So I posted that, and, you know, I didn't get a response back from whatever. I don't really care about that. But then it was released on Twitter, I believe it was by this guy, Front Row Brian, who I've had negative interactions with before on the Underground, and he's insulted Eddie Goldman, this guy, Front Row Brian. I think he was on Chael's show a couple times, and I'll talk a little bit more about this later, but this guy broke the story on Twitter, posted his address. This guy's name is Ian Kidd. He's the so-called journalist from Bloody Elbow that was arrested for a 12-year history of I don't even want to get into the details, but it's just absolutely repulsive, just absolutely reprehensible. And he posted it, and not one MMA media site, with the exception of BJPenn.com, posted anything on this within, I think it was like maybe 24 hours. Okay, not one of these sites, not one of these so-called MMA media pundits, these bloggers, whatever, nothing. They're absolutely silent. And to me, that is just absolutely reprehensible because you know damn well that they were aware of what's going on. You know damn well that they knew that the news broke about this guy, Ian Kidd, and that he had been involved in some horrific and just unspeakable acts, and not one of them said anything until it was safe for them, until the legal department gave them permission to talk about this, and then suddenly they started to condemn him in what I would argue the slightest terms. You have Crooklyn, who I like. Crooklyn, I'm friends with her on Facebook, and I have somewhat of a history with her going back to the Underground Forum, saying I am disgusted and repulsed by these reports linking my former colleague Ian Kidd to horrific crimes. I didn't have a clue about this before yesterday, and neither did any of the BE staff. It took us all by surprise. Ian was fired immediately. Zane Simon, I don't know who that is. But again, the same type of thing. I was appalled. And this guy Kareem Zidane, I was appalled. I'm appalled and horrified by it. It's all the same language, really. And it's very, very careful responses to this situation. And, my question is did anybody know about this from the Bloody Elbow? Okay. Were they aware of this, this type of stuff? Because, I mean, we know that these people in the MMA media are close to one another. I mean, this guy, it's not like he just started doing this stuff. He was doing this stuff back in 2005. And, are we going to understand or learn the true scope of this? Were there other people involved? Did anybody from this Bloody Elbow website know about this? Did they cover up for him? Because I guarantee you there's going to be more information that comes out here. Again, this didn't exist in a vacuum. This didn't just happen. This isn't an isolated event here. This is going. These issues are absolutely connected and whatnot. And I don't know, who would have jurisdiction over this, if it would be the Scotland police or what, but there should be some international agency that really looks at this. And it would not surprise me in the least if some of these people or these websites had knowledge of this and they covered it up, because he was previously arrested for this and he has a record. And so how the hell did this did this happen? Now, I'm not one of these guys that say that, look, if you have a criminal record, if you did something in the past, then you shouldn't have the right to work. You shouldn't have the opportunity to work. But this is involving children, okay? This is just an absolute abomination. And this guy, Ian Kidd, was celebrated by the MMA media. You have that clown, Jonathan Snowden, that used him for promotion of his book about Ken Shamrock. You had, as I said, other shows, MMA media shows on SiriusXM holding this guy up, and it just goes on and on and on. They all knew, or they not knew, but they endorsed him, they promoted him, And, you know, it turns out he was a real, real scumbag, which shows you you can't trust what these MMA media folks say to you, okay? Usually if they say something, you know, again, these shills, these wannabes, these fanboys, if they tell you, oh, this guy's a scumbag, this guy's a bad guy, that means he's a good guy. That means he tells the truth. Look what they all say about me. You go on the underground forum, they tell, I'm the devil, I'm the worst guy, I'm a scumbag, I'm this, that, and the other thing. But yet they'll turn around and they'll endorse somebody like Ian Kidd, a confirmed child predator and disgusting human being who's not even in jail and won't face jail in his country, which is just an absolute travesty. You do something like this in the UK or you do something like this in the United States, he would be spending decades behind bars here in this country, and that's good. Especially if something involving a child, you know, you lock them up and throw away the key. There's no rehabilitation for these scumbags who live with one another. And as Front Row Brian pointed out, this guy lives mere feet from a daycare center. I mean, can you believe that? Can that get any more horrifying? He lives feet from a daycare center, which is just, you know, considering his record, all this stuff, you wonder how this could happen. But it did happen, and as far as I'm concerned, this guy, Ian Kidd, he is a representative of the corrupt MMA media. Nobody condemned him. You know, everybody's suddenly tight-lipped about this. Listen, I don't care what capacity I would work for if I ever, which I never would. But let's say I worked in my own personal life with my own job. Let's say that somebody came out and somebody did something, okay, you know, particularly the worst. You know, you can make an argument that this is worse than terrorism. I really do. I think anything of this nature is worse than terrorism. But let's say that somebody came out and did something. It was proven that somebody did something, and I may have been a colleague with him at work, or he may have been a coworker of mine. You know what? I wouldn't wait for somebody to tell me what to say. What's right is right. You condemn it in the strongest possible terms. You disassociate with yourself, disassociate yourself from that person, and you call for that person to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. These clowns at the MMA media, many of these sites, you know, many of these people that work for Bloody Elbow, and they're all, again, it's all this you know, buddy club of you know, by and large, middle class white. Individuals, uppity white individuals, you know, that didn't grow up poor, that grew up in favorable circumstances, and are just looking like Ariel Helwani, for example. Ariel Helwani was a trust fund baby. You know, he wasn't this struggling journalist that went to New York City to take a risk and this and that. This guy, he grew up in favorable circumstances. Most of these people are like that, and they won't condemn him. They haven't condemned him, and they won't unless it's safe for them. Unless you know, they somehow you know, can not have any type of reprisals from their reaction to him. It's another example of why you shouldn't listen to these people, why you should take them with a grain of salt, and why the MMA media is completely corrupt and completely absent of any type of criticism or any type of real analysis. And you look at a guy like Front Row Brian, and again, I'll tell you, you know, I've had issues with this guy. This guy doesn't like me. I don't like him. But you know what? I will say I respect someone like Front Row Brian, even though he defends John Jones, and you know, he was practically a lapdog for Chael Sonnen, who I don't really care for. But the fact that this guy is on Twitter, and the fact that he calls out fighters, and the fact that he posts out and he goes after MMA media figures without any regard for whether or not he's liked, without any regard for, you know, whether or not he gets access to these websites or whatever it is, or you know, is in favorable terms with the powers that be, I appreciate that. And I can respect that. I'm just exactly like that. That's me. That's who I am. You look at my Twitter account. Last night with UFC 231, I say whatever's on my mind. That's the first thing. That's the first rule of the show. And that's how it should be for any show as far as I'm concerned. If you're doing a podcast, you should say whatever's on your mind. The first thing that comes to mind, I don't care how stupid it is, you know, you may step in, it doesn't matter. What you got to say, you got to be honest. You got to be brutally honest, folks, okay? And you just don't have that in the MMA media because they're afraid to say this. They're afraid to say that. You look at someone like Ariel Helwani. You know, tomorrow, Ariel Helwani, you know how many fighters he has on the show? 10 fighters or something like that. And how is it a show? How is it a show when he has 10 fighters on? That means he's got 10 people he can't piss off. He's got 10 people that he's got to walk a tightrope. It's just disgusting. It really is. And that's what you have in the MMA media. And so, you know, someone like myself, when I watch these events, I give my 100% honest opinion of it. Sometimes I say things that are stupid. Sometimes I say things that are totally offensive, and I understand that. But that's how the internet should be. That's how Twitter should be. That's how podcasting should be, in my opinion. You know, I mean, look, you know, if you don't want that, if you're a consumer and you want to listen to two geeks analyze a fight down to, you know, the grips that these fighters use and the footwork and whatnot, that's your right to do that. That's great. If there's a market for that, that's great. That's not how I do radio. That's not how I do podcasting. I do it from the heart first, ladies and gentlemen. You understand that? I say whatever is on my mind. And the second rule that I try to abide by on this program is I say, you know, it's not often that I do. I'll cover events. But if you're going to say things on a podcast or if you're going to say things on Twitter, you should say that be able to say that to a person's face. And I'm the type of guy that I wouldn't care, you know, I would say what I'm saying on this program to anybody's face. You know, I'm not in this world to make friends. I'm not in this world to get in the good graces of anybody. That's just not me. And, you know, you look at guys like Front Row Brian, there are other people out there that are getting fed up with this and are taking to Twitter because Twitter is where you can get your message out there. You know, you don't have to, you know, these MMA websites are going to be extinct, I think, or they're going to be drastically reduced because it's a content-driven, it's a user-driven media cycle that we live in, okay? It's, you know, I'll get into this a little later. I was banned from the forum. I heard back from Kirk Jenis, who said that, you know, he didn't agree with, he basically said he didn't agree with the decision. He doesn't have any powers at the underground anymore. He doesn't get involved with the moderation. And the mods over there banned me because they thought my posts were reminiscent of, you know, the fight sport posts and the trolling and this. So that they banned me there, you know, from the underground forum. And I'm thinking about it. I mean, it's just absolutely disgusting. It's disgraceful. And I'll get more into this later. But I'm thinking about, well, why does this really doesn't even matter. You know why? Because I could go on Twitter, okay? And I don't have that many Twitter followers. I have under 700 Twitter followers, okay? I'm not one of these guys that's going to get a million followers. It's never going to happen. But you know what? My threads on Twitter, my posts on Twitter every day, you know, for the amount of times I post on Twitter, I don't post that much. I've been on Twitter since 2009. I get thousands and thousands of impressions every day. I've had probably 40 or 50,000 impressions over the last 2 days. Okay. That to me is important in terms of getting your message out there. And why am I going to, if I'm going to get my message out there, you know, why am I going to go to a website? Why am I going to go to a forum and whatnot? You know, take it to your social media. That's it. And the great thing about social media, the great thing about Twitter, it's not unfair. It's not biased like the underground forum. The underground forum is under duress from Dana White. The moderators are completely immature, completely hypocritical. completely absent of any type of integrity. They've allowed me to be abused on that website. They allow fighter bashing all the time from people they like. If they don't like you, like someone like myself, then you can't have any opinion there because you'll be banned. And not only have they banned me from that website, they've also banned virtually any mention of me. Isn't that amazing? Any mention of me, it can't be on the website anymore. What that tells me, ladies and gentlemen, is that my radio show and me and my existence is a threat to the powers that be. They are under duress from the UFC. The UFC is practically a business partner of the Underground Forum. They advertise with the Underground Forum, and I'm sure their control goes a lot further than you can and I can imagine. And so a guy like myself, again, independent guy, very opinionated guy, very passionate. I have some sort of a standards, some sort of adherence to decency. I go against the grain there. I tell it like it is, and I can get people real quickly to look at what I'm doing and get thousands and thousands of people looking at this stuff, responding to it. It's what happens. It's part of and I think that's what it should be. I think that speech should be free, and it should be free speech should be absolute and whatnot. But the underground, you don't have that. You have politics again. You've got all this nonsense, all this crap, this unfairness, this groupthink mentality going on over there, hypocritical stuff, nonsense. And so they ban me. But yet Twitter doesn't have that. You could post anything on Twitter, for the most part. I mean, you can get banned for certain things, for violations. But what I'm doing, just offering my unvarnished opinions about things, that's tolerated there. Twitter is fair. It's fair compared to the underground forum and whatnot. That's where I've been focusing my efforts to, because if you want opinions, you're going to go Twitter. You're not going to go to necessarily a forum. These forums are almost obsolete now. And it's the underground is not as important as – I don't get me wrong. I still would love to post there. But you can't post anything there anymore because of the mods, because of the sensitivity there, because of the power, the hegemony that the UFC has. You can't. Because it's a joke. It's people just love to pile up on you and all that stuff. And so it is what it is. If they don't want to let me back there, that's fine. I go on Twitter. There's also the MMA community, which is a great website that I post at and all that stuff. So, I don't need this anymore. I really don't, because I don't know how these moderators sleep how do they sleep at night when they know that they're completely corrupt and incapable of fair practices. Listen, I myself am, a fair absolutist when it comes to speech. I'm a fair arbiter, okay? There are plenty of times where people criticize me and insult me in the worst possible ways on the underground forum, and never once do I say that person should be banned. I've had people post my address. I've had people post my social security number. I've had people post my phone number. Fill in the blank. Never once would I say that person should be banned. Every opinion, no matter how reprehensible it is, should be welcomed into the arena of debate. Every opinion, okay? But we don't have that because, and this is a larger issue that our culture, our society is experiencing, because of sensitivity, because of politics, and because of this crap that we have right now. And it's kind of ironic because we have such a wide landscape now with social media, with YouTube, everything, the potential to have free speech is really, really out there. But yet, if you look at it, we don't have it because of this crap, because of stuff like this censorship at its worst. And, you know, I don't like Joe Rogan, but Rogan had a really good point recently on his podcast where he said, you know, this is why people are podcasting. This is why there's more podcasts than human beings right now, because you can't get away with saying anything on certain platforms. And it's absolutely wrong, folks. It is absolutely disgusting. And so, you know, I sort of covered the underground situation, and that was going to be my last topic, but I went into it now because it fully intersects with, you know, what's going on with this bloody elbow, which is a really disgraceful name, if you ask me, and just the whole MMA media out there. But people are starting to embrace, you know, figures that are telling it like it is and not really caring about somebody's feelings and just going with the truth. The truth is the truth, and if somebody's offended, then somebody's offended. That's it, all right? We need to tell it like it is. I accept it, okay? You live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you're going to be a podcaster, if you're going to be this, that, you should accept all opinions, and you should accept people's rights to voice whatever opinions they want to. But we don't have that in the MMA media. You certainly don't have that on the forums. And so that's why a lot of people are tuning into or logging on or going on Twitter, and they're searching for alternative sources out there. All right, last night you had UFC 231, which took place in Canada. And unfortunately, I didn't get to see the whole event because I had to work my 17th job. I think I have about 16 and a half jobs, ladies and gentlemen. I think the average American under this rotten system has about 17 and a half jobs. They work about 100 hours a week just to try to make ends meet. Is that a disgrace or what? Well, I am one of those Americans who works two jobs. Okay, I probably may even pick up a third job, which is really disgraceful. It's really an indictment on the system. But nonetheless, I watched pretty much the whole UFC event. And just a couple of fights, a couple things that I focused on. You know, it always seems that with these UFC events, there's only really two or three fights on the main card that you really care about. You know, last night that I didn't really care about the Gunnar Nelson versus who did he fight, Gunnar Nelson? I forget. The guy, Cowboy Oliveira. I didn't care about that fight. I didn't care about the Hakeem Dawodu fight versus Kyle Bosniak. Does anybody care about that fight? No, I mean, you know, the Dawodu may be a good prospect, but really, you know, I don't know why they put that fight on the main card. Of course, two title fights I was interested in, but I was really interested in the main event. But even before that, we had the UFC Fight Pass prelims, then the UFC prelims on FS1, and then the main card. And, you know, with the UFC prelims, one of the fights I was looking forward to was the female fight, or actually both female fights. The first one was Jessica I versus Caitlin Kagan. I like both these girls. I'm fans of both of them. Okay, they're you know, good fighters in their own right. Caitlin is a New Jersey girl. She trains at Nick Catone's place. She trains up in New York City, and she's very friendly. Interacts with people on Twitter, and generally she's very, very nice. You would never know it by looking at her, but she's actually Armenian, which I find interesting as well. But, you know, I like her, and I like Jessica I, too. I've been a big fan of Jessica's. Jessica and I actually fought for the same promotion, Ring of Combat, and she's a real good, you know, blue-collar girl who's had a lot of problems in her personal life, and she's been very honest about speaking about some of the things that she's went through, and I think it's admirable. I think it's courageous. And she's lost a lot of fights that she shouldn't have. She's gotten a lot of bad decisions. And she's really a world-class fighter. You have to – I think you got to really root for her. I really like it. The only thing I don't like about her is apparently she's a CBD user and a marijuana user, which is just commonplace in mixed martial arts. But, you know, really. But that's really it. You know, and so I knew this was going to be a real close fight, and I thought that Jessica would take Caitlin down. In fact, I even posted this on Twitter, and Jessica said, "Yeah, but you know I like to throw hands, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, you're right, you do." Jessica has improved in her striking last night, although she didn't look technical. I mean, she looked good, but there was a couple times where, you know, technically she didn't look all that good. Looked like she was just you know, flinging her punches out there, but nonetheless, she did a very, very good job, and the fight was very, very close. It could have gone either way. I think Caitlin landed slightly more punches, but Jessica did some damage. If you look at Caitlin after the fight, look at some of her Instagram videos, she was pretty banged up. You know, she was definitely, wasn't too bad, but she was definitely bruised, and Jessica too. And so it was a good fight, and Jessica won. And it was great. Now, she wants a title fight. And this is one thing I'll say about women fighters out there, is that they always want title fights after they fight, after they win. And it's not just with Jessica Ai. It's with a lot of these women fighters, Invicta fighters, UFC fighters. Like, I think women fighters, more so than male fighters, they need the emotional support. They almost need to be emotionally rewarded with a title fight rather than actually, you know, earn these title fights. And I say this because, you know, Jessica is, what, 3-5 in her last fights? You know, she's won a couple fights. She's won 2 in a row now, I believe. But I don't know if really just on that basis she deserves a title fight. However, with the volatility of mixed martial arts, with the fact that, you know, cards and fighters are being replaced and being forced to withdraw many times, it's entirely possible she could fight Valentina. So all she has to do is just be in shape, which she always is, and she may get that fight because there's not a lot of women flyweight fighters out there. Who do they have? You know, they got the Sajara Eubanks, who she can't make weight. She says, I believe, she's going up to 135. You've got Valentina, who won the championship last night. You've got Roxanne. There's just not a lot of women flyweight fighters out there, okay? And so there's a good chance that Jessica will get a title shot, and it's good for her. But, you know, come on. I mean, some of these women are like, you know, they win 2 fights and then they want a title fight. You know, they're 3-5 and all of a sudden they think that they, you know, deserve a title fight. And it's a woman's thing, I'm telling you. It really is. You know, and you see this in Invicta too. Believe me, there's many of these female fighters that win a couple of fights, all of a sudden, you know, they deserve a title shot. So I was interested in that fight. Good for Jessica. I was also interested in the Claudia Gadelha, Nina Anzorov fight because I thought that Claudia Gadelha really came across as cocky going into this fight. You know, she gave an interview and she said, you know, Nina's not on my level. I train with her. I'm going to beat her. And whatnot. She wasn't flat out disrespectful to her, but there was a little bit of air, you know, a little bit of arrogance I detected. And the thing about it is that she's coming off a very controversial win against Carla Esparza, who I thought, and a lot of people thought, she didn't even win that fight. But she claimed she was injured going into that fight. I mean, she didn't even acknowledge just the fact that a lot of people thought that she didn't win that fight. And if you looked at, Nina's pre-fight media comments, she appeared to be a little bit more humble, a little bit more down to earth, and she won. She beat Claudia, who, you know, tried to get the takedown, always tries to get the takedown and tries to, leave it to the judges, whereas, you know, Nina was controlling the striking. So I was glad that Nina won. Now there's she'll move closer. She'll move up in the rankings. And who knows what's going to happen with Claudia Gadelha. I don't know. You know, I mean, like I said, you got to always be humble in this game. You got to always be honest with yourself and look at your fights and never underestimate your opponents. Because even if she was levels above Nina Anzorov, it doesn't mean that she can win. It doesn't mean that she's going to win the fight. And as I posted on Twitter, you know, if anything, Nina looked like she was miles ahead of Claudia. So go figure for that, you know. But in any event, yeah, so those were the two fights that I was really looking forward to. Yeah, wow, got Guy Mezger. Got a lot of people tuning into the live stream. Thank you, Guy. Thank you, Harry Moskowitz. Wow, Stitch Duran. It's been a while, Stitch. We got to get him. I still use your promo, Stitch, at the beginning of the program. And I saw you in the latest Rocky. Stitch is like a movie star now. This guy is absolutely huge, and he deserves it. He's a really, really good guy. I remember I met Stitch at Guy Mezger's HD Net Fights, Reckless Abandon, going back 10, 11 years ago. It was very weird. And he said something to the effect of me. I said, do you ever get mistaken for Geraldo Rivera? And Stitch Duran is like, all time. Him and Edward James almost and whatnot. Good man, Stitch Duran. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it. You know, a lot of people out there, Gumby, David Feldman, really appreciate it. Yes, thank you, Malachi. Appreciate your opinion and your support over the years. I really do. Down there in Florida. I think at one point Malachi used to train in New Jersey. And they may have even fought a couple times in New Jersey. But nonetheless, I have to tell you, we're coming up on like 12 minutes here, 13, 14 minutes till the show is over here. I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Megan O'Leary is not happy with me, unfortunately. Megan O'Leary actually posted something on Twitter. Well, actually, I posted something yesterday on Twitter. And this is what I do. When I see a UFC event, this is how I cover the event. I do, of course, the podcast. I do apply for press passes. Actually, I just received an email from the UFC the other day about my my account. I was having problems logging into my account, and they were very responsive and very, very quick. In fact, I didn't even have to email them. They emailed me, and I can apply for UFC press passes, and whether or not I'll be approved is another thing. It depends, you know. It would depend on the venue, depends on a lot of different things. But, you know, nonetheless, I cover these events by watching them live wherever I can and, you know, posting on Twitter and doing the podcast. And the podcast and Twitter and all that stuff, that pretty much accounts for my coverage. And like I said, when I'm watching these events, I post whatever's on my mind. That's it. Whatever comes to mind. And yesterday I saw Megan O'Leary, and she was doing her interviews. I forget who she was talking to. And I remember a couple weeks ago, somebody on the Underground Forum said something to the effect that Megan O'Leary always looks angry, right? And I kind of chuckled because there's a couple times, I guess, depending upon what's going on, she can have an angry demeanor. I don't know. I mean, you know, I've worked with women before that have an angry demeanor, and they are angry people. They're just nasty people. I've also seen people that may have an angry demeanor, and, you know, you meet them and talk to them, and they're actually very nice people. So you can't really tell a lot about a person by, you know, looking at their demeanor. But I kind of laugh because there are some times where you look at her, and maybe it does look like she has an angry demeanor. Maybe it does look like she's just miserable at the moment. I don't think she is. I don't know. I've never met her. I have no idea. But it was just something that I wanted to put out there. I wanted to get people's feedback and to see if they think that she has an angry demeanor and whatnot. And I posted, and all of a sudden I started to get all these responses and all these tweets and everything. And I figure, all right, I mean, somebody just must have, seen it, whatever. But I found that later on in the night, like around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. She actually posted it. She actually posted what I post, and she said something to the effect of, I'm not here for your BS, Bob, or something like that. You know, my thing is I just have to post whatever I feel, whatever, you know, I think at the moment. And, you know, I don't really, it doesn't really matter to me whether or not the person sees that. What matters is that I get it off my chest, and, you know, I mean, people can react however they want to. I thought it was a fair question. I thought that, you know, anything it should be, you know, allowed. And, you know, some people were responding, oh, you know, if this were a man, if, you know, would we be commenting on a man's appearance and all this stuff, and, you know, if this and that and all that stuff. And look, everything is fair game, especially if you're on television. You know, if you're on television, everything is fair game. People are going to respond in a very honest and perhaps visceral way to your appearance out there. Believe me, I get it all the time. And so, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting, kind of funny. I was a little humored by it. And, you know, that's where it stands. Personally, I don't know. I mean, sometimes she could come across as like she has an angry demeanor. Sometimes she's smiling. Who knows? You know, again, it's hard to tell a lot about a person by their demeanor. But I've had bosses before that as soon as they walked into my office or wherever I work, you know, people just can just see how mean they are, and how their demeanor is indicative of their personality, you know. It's like a shark. You know, you look at a shark, and they've got those cold, dead eyes and that just blank stare. You know, I just think it's pretty funny. But you know what? I will say this. Megan O'Leary, you need to hear this stuff. Don't shield yourself from Twitter, and don't shield yourself from people out there that, you know, are interested in voicing opinions that maybe you're not used to, or you don't hear from anybody else, because it toughens you up. You know, people like to shield themselves from criticism and all that stuff, because some people are a little bit too sensitive, particularly in mixed martial arts, in the MMA media. People are very sensitive, and they're certainly not going to get criticism from anybody in the MMA media, so they get the free pass. They get to go on, you know, totally unchallenged and whatnot. Well, that doesn't exist with me. That doesn't exist with Twitter, okay? And independent guys like myself. And so it's good that she can learn this stuff, and she can, you know, at least respond to this stuff and acknowledge that it's going on. People may have a thought about that. You know, people may think that you have a nasty demeanor, you have an angry demeanor. Maybe that'll you know, have her reevaluate how she comes across, or at least put it in her mind. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. But all I'm saying is that as long as it's not too abusive, and you don't have people posting, you know, inappropriate content, female fighters and MMA fighters and anybody should not shield themselves from this type of stuff, and should participate and interact with the fans and people out there that are just interested in not kissing ass, but interested in getting their point across, or whatever they have to do. Because, again, this is why there's such a reaction with so many people in MMA and so many women fighters out there. And you got a lot of people that are very, very sensitive. And I can name you several that really need to hear the truth. They need to hear the opinions that are expressed on this program, even if they don't necessarily have to with fighting. This is another trap, too, is that, you know, If it doesn't have to do with MMA, or if it doesn't have to do with analyzing somebody's fight approach or fight career or this and that, then it shouldn't be said. You know, you shouldn't say it. Well, I disagree. You know, I think that everything and anything is fair game. I think that everything and anything really should be analyzed, and you know, you let people decide. If you want to listen to content that you know just analyzes things from a real geek's and a nerd's perspective, well, that's your right to do. But if you like the intangibles, if you like learning things about fighters' personal lives or whatever, then you should have the right to that content as well. So that's it. And again, you know, some of these female fighters, and I've seen this before, they listen to MMA media people tell them not to go on the forums and not to pay attention to this stuff. And I think they're just doing themselves a disservice. I really do. You need to read some of this stuff. You need to see how cruel people can get. And you have to toughen yourself up, okay? You have to pull yourself up. Don't, if anything, you shouldn't pay attention to what these shills are saying on these MMA sites or whatever, because they're just trying to get next to you. They're just trying to cozy up to you and kiss your ass. That's what they're trying to do. So I'm getting stuffed up here, folks. I don't know what it is. My nose is just really, I don't know what it is. I think I got to shave my mustache. My mustache is really getting a lot of people uncomfortable. Actually, my mustache, I've won several awards with my mustache, ladies and gentlemen. I have an award-winning mustache under my nose. Now, it's just itching. It's getting annoying. I don't know. We got about 9 minutes or so. What else do we got going on here? So, yeah, we had UFC 231. By the way, Max Holloway looked absolutely great. I didn't get to see the last two rounds, but, you know, there was a lot of intrigue going into this fight because of Max Holloway's issues, because of, you know, he's slurred speech, he sounds bad, he looks bad. People were speculating about CTE, about his weight cutting, and nobody knows what the hell is going on. He said he was depressed for a year, whatever. I mean, I don't think that would have accounted for some of the physical symptoms that we saw with Max Holloway, but there was a lot of intrigue as to whether or not Max Holloway could still perform, you know, whether he's going to be able to make the weight and whether he is the best featherweight of all time. And boy, did he show that last night. That guy, you forget how devastating he is. You forget how dominant he was. And I was picking Ortega to win that fight, but Ortega was a real tough guy. He hung in there. You got to give him credit, but Holloway is just completely on another level. And I think if Holloway goes up to 155, which they don't know what's going to happen, you know, Dana White wants him to move up. Max Holloway may or may not want to move up. Who knows what's going to happen? But I got to tell you, if he moves up to 155, there's a lot of interesting fights for him there. And I think he's more than likely to be Conor McGregor, or maybe anybody they put in front of him. You know, it's really hard to imagine anybody being able to beat him. Maybe Tony Ferguson. I don't know. There's a lot of interesting matchups there. So, was he the greatest featherweight of all time, or whether it was Jose Aldo? Dylan Danis thinks it was Conor McGregor. I don't know. I don't think it was Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor has only fought a few times at that featherweight. You know, Max Holloway's fought in years, and I think he was undefeated in 5 years or something like that. It's just ridiculous. So good for him. Congratulations to Max Holloway. Looked absolutely great. Looked like the Terminator in there. And Brian Ortega. I like Brian Ortega too. Nice kid. Very respectful. Although he had an entourage with him. God, did you see how many people? This guy had like 10, 15 people with him. These fighters, like you wonder, why they have so many people around them. And even Max Holloway, too. Did you see the UFC embedded? You know, they go up to his hotel room. He's got like 35 people there. I don't know. You know, if I was a fighter, especially if you're not making a lot of money, these fighters aren't making a lot of money. compared to the revenue generated by the UFC. At one point, the UFC was making $600 million a year, and they're probably making that neighborhood as well. The last thing you need is to pay these guys, these minnows just swimming underneath you. You know what I mean? But I don't know. You know, I don't know what their reasoning is for having so many people there. But to each his own. I was very, very impressive, and we're going to have to see what happens with Max Holloway. I hope he moves up. I hope he doesn't have any issues making 155 as he moves up. And I hope that we see him in a lot of interesting and exciting matchups in the future, which I'm sure we will. I'm absolutely sure we will. But look, we've got Ali Abdulaziz now attacking Bloody Elbow. And, wow. I wonder, Elvis Sinisek going after somebody. I don't know who was talking to Greg. I don't know if he's, we'll have to see. But this is really, really bad. And in a way, I hope this whole thing with Ian Kidd, in a way, I hope it spreads out. And it makes people see just how disgusting and how corrupt these websites really are. And all these people really are. It's really disgusting, folks. It really is. All right, we got about 4 minutes left here. See if there's anything going on in the live chat room. We got Shannon the Cat. By the way, Shannon the Cat and Rich, if you're listening, I spoke to our buddy Mike, and I'm sure you know this, but Frank Shamrock is going to be the new commentator, the new narrator to your documentary, Shannon. So hopefully they'll be able to release that pretty soon. I think Mike is going to get Shannon or going to get Frank on camera real soon. And I'm glad. I'm glad because, you know, Boss was just, you know, I know it just wasn't working out with Boss. And I told Mike, too, Shannon, I told Mike that he should consider, you know, getting other narrators. There's other people. There's even guys like Michael Chiavello and others that will be able to narrate this documentary. But it looks like it's coming to fruition. Shannon the Cannon Rich will be the subject of a very, very widely distributed documentary, which also has a cameo from yours truly, Bob Carson. We got Jim Ramos. Jimmy, how are you, my friend? God, it's been a long time. I got Laura Rich. Got so many people. Thank you so much for joining me here on the show. And thanks to everybody out there. What else? Yeah, we got about 3 minutes left here. And I don't have any plans for the show. I reached out to my old producer. I don't know, you know, if we're going to have any more interviews or not. We'll take the interviews as they come. And we'll continue to be the watchdogs in this MMA community out there. We'll continue to say the things that need to be said regardless of the outfall. You know, there's one guy on Twitter who was going after Ian Kidd for years. And the MMA media, you know, the fanboys out there, they were attacking him, you know, alienating him. And I told him, I said, I know what it's like to voice an unpopular opinion and if people alienate you. Well, it turns out this guy was right. This guy, and I'm going to give you his name here, or his Twitter handle. I encourage you to follow this guy because I just got introduced to him the other day. He goes by the Twitter handler MMA on the Reg. That's MMA on the Reg. Follow him because he's really, really doing a great job. And he has been going after this guy, Ian Kidd, and all the folks over at the MMA media were attacking him, defending their pedophile buddy, Ian Kidd. It's really disgraceful, folks. So thank you very much. Thank you to Dan from Oregon for participating, and we really appreciate it. And thank you to everybody out there. I encourage you to spread the show, please. Spread awareness, folks. We need it. Big thanks to everybody again. I appreciate it. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.